Hey, B.
Hey, tell me your funny story that you've promised me for weeks and weeks.
Okay, this is really embarrassing.
Whoa.
Okay. I had a dream a couple weeks ago that it's been kind of living in my head rent-free for a little bit now, and it's the most vivid dream that I've had in a while.
Okay.
I had a dream about Colleen O'Shaughnessy. So in this dream, Colleen is transitioning to film acting. Like, she is doing things on screen, and she's gonna star in this horror movie. For the record, for anyone listening, I don't do horror. It's not my thing. I appreciate it as an art form, but I am very squeamish and I like to protect my peace. But in the dream, I remember it's like, wow, like Colleen is going to be in this horror movie and it's being critically acclaimed and she's getting all of these flowers. And I just want to support someone who I've, you know, kind of peripherally been engaging with content wise for like a while. And so I remember that I just wanted to go to the theater. And so in the dream, I go to see this movie. I don't know if it's like The Substance, but The Substance is really just like the only thing that comes to mind. I haven't seen that movie. But I remember I'm in the theater, you know, Colleen is doing this like very serious scene where like she's talking to her character's mother and they're in this really fancy big dining room. It's got like green walls and just like expensive decor and like
So many details.
It's you know, like opulence, like modern opulence basically. But then I remember, I think it starts getting to like some of the freaky parts, and in the dream I am covering my eyes with my hands because I'm just like so freaked out, but I still wanted to be in the theater. So I don't really know what happened in the movie, but I don't know what the movie's about. All I know is that she was in it and press said that she was really good.
But so, you didn't watch a second of her performance in the dream, in your mind's eye in the dream.
No.
Wow.
But I 100% believe that, like, it was Oscar worthy.
Yeah. Mine has been so busy, like, inventing green walls and opulence in that room. It was like, I can't make up also, like, an Oscar worthy monologue in this movie at this point.
No. So, Colleen, if you're listening to this, hi, come on our podcast and we could talk this out. And also, I do think that Colleen could have a film acting career if she really wanted to.
Yeah. Colleen, have you ever had like a Salvador Dali-esque like shared dream or continued dream situation where you had a dream that you were in a horror movie? And if so, do you remember the monologue or the scene with your mother? Let us know. Help fill in the blanks for Straubs. I'm sure this was a connected dream and you guys just both have two sides of the, you know, the puzzle, two pieces in the puzzle. Together you'll form the full picture.
I would love that. But you know, Colleen, if you're out there listening,
let us know. Let's find out.
Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
And this is an irregularly scheduled podcast where we talk about all things Sonic, fandom, fan content, fan creation.
Yes. And it's been not too long.
No.
But we've both been busy.
Yeah, it does feel like lifetimes. It always feels like lifetimes. Just like end of the year thick of it, I think. For you and for me,
you know, fiscal year, getting things together and just, oh my God, I've been worked so much recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pardon me if I have to like dust off the Sonic brain a little bit.
Same. Same.
But we're here and we're happy to be here. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy to be here. Nothing to cure being really deep in work brain and just like the grind mindset. The grind set. Why would I say the grind mindset? Nothing to cure the grind set like dusting the Sonic brain off the shelf and putting that in instead. And talking about Sonic with my friend.
Yeah.
With my friend Zuh.
Yeah, and speaking of the Sonic brain, I think you have some updates for us, don't you?
Oh my God. Yes, I do. Okay, for the sake of transparency and what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my God. I've been sick for like 3
Accountability?
Weeks, guys. Yes, thank you so much, Strom. Oh my God, you're the best. Thank you so much. That was the exact word I wanted. Transparency and accountability. Here's the what was stolen update, because things are happening. It is trucking along, and I want people to know that. They should know that. And again, if you want more updates, I haven't been as active because, again, work. But I'm the most active on Blue Sky, so follow me there. But the plan right now, it is still early-ish September when we are recording this. I am hoping to have the first draft of the final chapters and therefore the first draft of the whole novel done by the end of September, at which point my good friend Straub will be the first person who gets to read it because she will be cleaning it up for me. And then...
Yeah, surprise, I'm the beta reader.
Yeah, she's just my copy editor.
Which is, you know, that's kind of crazy too, because I remember when we like first started doing this pod and everything, I remember you were like, yeah, like, you know, that you're a little guarded with your work.
Yeah.
You know, you trust yourself.
Well, it's interesting. I don't really see you as a beta reader in this because I am not looking for... I'm looking for feedback and punch-ups, but I'm just like, please, if... this is just like, clean me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clean me. Mm-hmm. Clean my dirty little.
I think the term beta reader is pretty flexible.
Yeah.
At least in spaces. So, you know.
Yeah. I want my stuff to be polished for you all because I'm hoping that I will have the finished copy, the finished cleaned version looked over and checked off by my friend Straub by November, on track like we said, at which point I'll have a certain number of physical copies to hand out at Sonic Expo if you will be there. And then we'll start releasing the final chapters in the new year, or maybe in December if I'm feeling generous. I don't know. I haven't thought about the release plan yet, but I want you to know that the book is going to be finished within the next few months, and the release plan will be coming. And once the book is finished, I'll think more about the most effective end of release plan, and then there will be another update on that later. But that's your What Was Stolen update. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to give it to you. I'm really nervous to give it to you. And also thank you to Straub, who's already read 20 chapters of my work and made it infinitely better with her comments, and also made me laugh so much with her comments. And I am going to out her with some of them when we do a wrap-up episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell on her. These comments are so goofy.
Oh my gosh. No, I had fun reading it. And... I do think especially if the masses are interested.
I don't care if the masses are interested. They should know.
Maybe we have a little like what was stolen interview.
Funeral.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what
we'll
to call it.
Out.
But there will be a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's your update. Do you have an update, Straub? Have you been in reaching new heights at all?
I've actually been writing more original stuff, kind of in the cracks of when I'm not being like mauled by my job.
Yeah.
This is like, I am in the busiest time period for my job ever. I'm like working 12-hour days. So it hasn't been as just like not a lot of time for creation in general, or like I don't have to bandwidth for that, but I've been doing a little bit of original writing, which I have shared with a few, and it feels good to just like share that and have my friends, my server friends, you know, they liked what they read so far. I don't know if I'm going to post it online. Just for context, it is like original characters, not just from me, but from my friend, my longtime roleplay partner, who, you know, we kind of did all this stuff in high school and college. And so purely is just for myself, and it feels good to just have fun, well-written things. So that's my update. And with Reaching New Heights, I do, like, once the month ends, I do want to, like, I think I'm starting to feel a little more motivated with it again, and I'll, you know, sink my teeth into that. But I am also just like, it'll get there when it gets there.
100%. And you are in the trenches right now. And fanfic writing should be fun and joyful. And yes, if you're pressuring yourself to push through and try and write it when you are in the trenches, that's not fun and joyful. That's just pressure.
Yeah, no, and that's for anybody listening. I mean, I'm just like, my job is hard enough. I am going to do with my free time whatever I please. But I appreciate people's support with the story. I'm glad, you know, parts of the story, it still holds up. So I think if I get back into Reaching New Heights, it might just be another set of, like, revisions. Just so I can kind of tie things together a little bit. But, yeah. Girl bossing is hard for anyone listening.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And nobody knows that more than the Sonic ladies. Transition! We took to our many social media accounts, shout out to Strawberry for running all of them, and asked you guys for questions for this BBQ&A. Look, we've rolled out our gingham blanket and all of our delicious food and beverages to ask questions about the Sonic girls.
Yeah.
The girly pops.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sonic girls, there's a lot to say about them. And we just kind of figured, as some resident Sonic girlies, why don't we give our 2 cents?
Totally. And I also think this was inspired by, this has always been the case, but I just feel like recently, over the past year, 6 months-ish, there's just been a lot of heated debate about female characters and iterations of them and what they should and shouldn't do and how they should be portrayed. And there's always a certain amount of scrutiny, but what with the movies and the games, and I just think that it's a good and interesting time to talk about them.
And, you know, we are live, laugh, love. We love our Sonic girls, and I know so fundamentally much people do, but, you know,
yes,
there's discussion to be had. You know, respectful discussion.
Yes, respectful discussion. Let's all hold hands and sit down around this delicious picnic we've prepared and respectfully discuss as girly pops do.
Thank you so much to everyone that sent us questions. We received so many across our platforms.
That's really nice.
You know, like, so nice. I think we got like over 25 questions between Twitter, Blue Sky, Tumblr, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. So, you know, we are really glad that people, you know, enjoy engaging with the show. And thank you so much.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead? Our first question is from YouTube, and it's from AddieFields4474.
Addie
asks, how do you see Amy's characterization evolving in the mainline canon? Given that it's changed a lot over the years, how do you two think that will impact her future relationship with Sonic? I know you already touched on this a bit in previous episodes, but do you predict the SCU, that's the Sonic Cinematic Universe, will take a new approach with her that we haven't seen before? Well, thank you so much, Addie. And thank you for your support.
Thank you, Addie. I'm glad that we're starting with this. And this does feel like one of the questions of the hour, don't you think, Strobs? Like, to be kind of upfront, like, I think Amy and the SCU is one of the hot button topics. And, you know, Amy's characterization and just like the way she's changed over the years and the character analysis. And is she good? Is she bad? Is she a stalker? Is she insane? Is mm-hmm. she toxic? Is she less of herself if she's not solely focused on Sonic? Is she a bad representation of a girl if she's solely yeah. focused on Sonic? Is she? It's just like every single piece of her history and the way it's changed is sort of up for
yeah.
nitpicking. I want to say there's some really great threads on Tumblr that I've seen about this. One, not about this and the Sonic Cinematic Universe specifically, but about Amy's characterization evolving. One is from Eve yes. on Tumblr, has written a really yes. wonderful, succinct breakdown of Amy's characterization, how she views it, of course, mm-hmm. but it feels very fair. And I totally agree with a lot that is said in it. And also, Palooza Rat Riot on Tumblr has written a great overview and deep dive into Amy's characterization and how they see it. Both of those are on Tumblr, and you can find them if you go to their blogs.
Yeah.
And those get really, really more in depth than we'll get into here.
Yeah. And you know, again, full disclaimer, we are not the arbiters of Amy or of anyone in this in this episode.
We're just two girls.
This is just our space to give our two cents, you know, take what resonates, leave what doesn't. It's to get into the question directly, there has been quite a bit of change with her. I think mm-hmm. like, you know, fundamentally we can agree that she has changed as a character. I think that I can understand some of the criticisms, but I think fundamentally I don't feel dissatisfied as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to some clips of the pod from earlier episodes just to kind of get myself in the mindset. And you had said something, B, which is that anyone who, for a franchise like this or for any big franchise where you have a lot of people working on something, everyone, basically, they have their own interpretation that they are kind of mm-hmm. putting into the pot. And that even with the stamp of authority, I think it's a natural consequence of just having voices come in and out of the rooms.
Totally. And for me, I think that Amy's character has evolved in the mainline canon for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that character evolution is not only necessary, but imperative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that a character can stay the same for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should stay the same for 50 years. And I actually don't think it's like actually possible, because again, people will come in and out of a franchise, and inherently each person who touches it will have a different interpretation of the things that they have seen and the materials they're working with. And all that to say, evolution is never, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. And it typically isn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It should be something incredibly beautiful, actually,
yeah.
and a way to like make depth happen. When time passes,
mm-hmm.
You are gathering experiences, history, memories, even a fictional character is, because they have existed for time, and they have been through more. And so they are going to have to change and evolve.
Yeah.
And I actually think with Amy, her evolution and how it, to get into the second half of the question, how it impacts her future relationship with Sonic, her evolution, which, you know, it does have to do with sort of a move away from being completely 100%, sometimes even angrily, violently focused on Sonic romantically, to somebody a little more balanced, somebody who is able to see more of the world around her, somebody who pours more into the world as a mm-hmm. whole around her, but still has that like volatile emotionality and passion that
yeah.
is so wonderful, that I love about her.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think how this evolution impacts her future relationship with Sonic in the grander scheme of the IP is that like it allows them to be closer and more equal and mm-hmm. more peers and like see each other more. And we've seen this reflected in IDW. We've seen this yeah. reflected in like Frontiers, mm-hmm. In the games that are coming out. Like they hold hands more. They are happier to see each yeah. other when they run into each other. They just like have a more relaxed sense of intimacy that feels familiar. Mm-hmm. It feels more like relief instead of stress. And that to me, it makes me happy. Yeah. It makes me as a fan of Sonami happy. I like the chase, of course. I like the history, but I am glad when they light up when they see each other.
Yeah.
And so I think that evolution for Amy's character, which again, shout out to evolution. Uh-huh. I'm not afraid of it. And I don't, that's it. That's what I'll say about that. I'm not afraid of it. It's great.
I think it's a tricky line to balance when you have yeah. characters that are kind of considered mascots, right?
Yes, totally.
Like it can be contradictory to have a character that is a mascot, but then to also have character change or evolution, you know,
because totally.
Mascots are typically stagnant.
Yeah.
And so it can be tricky to walk that line. I actually really like what you said about Sonic and Amy, like having that sense of like closer intimacy with each other. I think there's something really beautiful about the two of them yeah. finding quiet with each other. Actually. Yeah. You Gorgeous. Know, and another thing that I actually want to touch on that I think is really important is that in gaming, especially in the 90s and 2000s, these were male dominated spaces.
Mm.
I would argue that they are still male dominated spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was a broader discussion to be had when talking about having characters representative of different lived experiences, different backgrounds, you know, regardless of gender, regardless of race or sexuality or what have you, that, you know, like, I think there's a broader discussion to be had about getting more voices in the room.
Right.
You know, because, like, parts of you go into all of the characters that you write. So...
Mm-hmm. Right, and there are more women in gaming and mm-hmm. in these rooms than ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. One more thing I'll say. We should, God, this is going to be such a long fucking episode.
Yeah.
We love to talk about these women.
Yes.
When we start any project at the studio, one of the things we'll do is outline, you know, what are the North Stars of this movie? Even as the plot changes, as things change, the things that make this movie and its themes of this movie, the North Stars, the things we don't want to lose. Amy's North Stars, I actually really don't see that they've changed. Like,
yeah.
She still loves Sonic. She will always love Sonic. Yes. She still has so much love. She's still passionate. She's still angry. She's still strong. She still has her hammer. Like I think she still has that North Star of herself inside her, and I don't see that changing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that she has lived and has a history, and
yeah,
that equals evolution. As for the Sonic Cinematic Universe, those movies make decisions. Totally, they do whatever they want to do, and
I'm excited here for
to
it.
See what they will do.
I like the SCU just kind of does its own thing.
Yeah.
But
we've said a little bit what we think might happen with them.
But I think also the other thing to consider too with characters and how they act is like the general tone of a story, you know? I think Frontiers had space for those quiet, intimate moments because generally speaking, the tone of that game was just like more reflective. There were like some serious themes of loss of culture. The character choices made in Frontiers, like, it was to reflect the overall like seriousness of, you know, what they were going for. And I think that, you know, Ian and the team like did a great job of crafting that. So I'm excited to mm-hmm. see whatever, you know, whatever the tone of the next game is going to be. You know, I'm excited to see what they do with that. And I think that, you know, I really do think we can only go up from here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Addie. This was all, that was a great question. Yeah. Great way to kick off the barbecue. Mm-hmm. God, it's so fun to be a girl and to talk about girls.
Yes.
Okay. Girls. Okay. Next question we have comes from that bird guy, Nick, on Twitter.
Thank you, Nick. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Hi, Nick. And the question is, what do you think, or how do you think everyone would feel about a free day together? What would their reactions be? Gosh, I want to see this filler episode so bad.
I love the like little slice of life things. Slice of life is such a fun genre. I think that like Amy is like baking, or she's just like running around town, you know, doing errands, and I don't know what Rouge does. Steal.
Oh my God. Wait, you know what I would love? Okay, wait. Thank you for saying that. Because I was like, I'm trying to think of something that literally every single character could do together, right? Mm. We're like talking from Amy, Rouge, Cream, Blaze, all the way to like fucking Serge, Bell, Lana, Lynn, Jewel. Like, let's get sticks. Like, everybody. And I'm like, I mean, Amy could, you know, organize like a paint by twist girls day, like a paint with a twist girls day, or she could bake, she could have, but I also see like her trying to organize a place where like everybody's gonna come, we're all gonna have fun, like it's gonna be tea, it's gonna be this, like, you know, she gets Cream to help, Blaze is gonna help, like they're gonna set it up, it's gonna be great. And then Rouge gets there, and then all this chaotic energy, like Sticks, Surge, Tangle, a few of the more like intense, excited people. Rouge is like, I have a better idea. What if we go did a heist? And then it turns into like Ocean's 8, and they like each have a role in the crew, and they like go steal back something from someone, or like play a prank on Shadow. Like, it's a big heist. It's a big girl heist on their day off.
Wait, I love that.
Me too. Rouge comes into the day Amy planned, and she's like, Shadow told me that my eye makeup looks stupid today, and now we are all going to go plan a heist so we can steal his motorcycle. And they're like, okay, I guess the day has changed, and so we're all going to go do that now.
Shadow just seeing a mass of women.
Exactly. Or like the boys decided that they're gonna go do something for themselves today, and Rouge just comes in and she's like, what if we go just like them. Steal the thing that they're gonna do. Let's, yeah, exactly, let's go do it before they get there.
You know,
and then suddenly it's, and then it's a real girls day.
Yeah, girls cause trouble.
So fun.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Wait, I want it to exist so bad. Thank you, Nick. Oh my God.
Next question is from Twitter, and it's from Ultimanga, our friend Ren, who made the awesome posters for us. Thank you so much, Ren. Hello, Bumble and Straw.
Bumble and Straw are like our like rough and tumble.
We should like come up with like some little like Team Rocket rough and tumble intro together for Bee and Strawberry. But anyway, question. Please tell me about which girlies you relate to the most, and if they're the same as your favorites. Can be anyone from the main cast to the comics. Love you all, and keep up the great podcast. Ren. Thank you, Ren.
So much, Ren. So sweet. Thank you, Ren.
I feel like I am kind of close to Blaze or Rouge. Which honestly, I do love those characters, at least from what I understand of Blaze. Like, she's generally a little bit more serious, and actually, like, yes, I know I am, like, you know, goofy, haha, like I love cracking a good joke, but I like to think I buckle down, and I think I see Blaze as a character who shoulders a lot of responsibility. And I relate to that a lot. I don't know, like, another part of me, like, Rouge just, I love the cheeky energy that she has. You know, like, Rouge is not afraid to tease someone. really inspiring a lot of confidence. I've been getting more confident with work recently, and with engaging with you know, my colleagues, and in a way that I think is just making me more present, and more like people are starting to get to know me at the table a little more, which feels great. But honestly, they're both just like characters that I really do enjoy. I mean, I would say my favorite is Shadow and Tails, but like,
yeah, and we're not talking about boys.
Wow. I don't know why that came out so easily from my mouth.
Wow.
Oh my god.
We're not talking about boys. I love the way you say it. I wish I could make that my ringtone. Oh my god. Which girlies do I relate to the most?
Vanilla.
What? No, I'm not as patient and kind and good as her. She's so good.
Yeah, but you're patient and kind and good with me.
Well, that's because I love you. But I'm a very judgmental person, actually.
Yeah.
And my standards are very high. But actually, maybe Vanilla does have that inside her. I think she has high standards.
Vanilla keeps herself together.
Yeah.
That lady knows what she wants. And right. she's been able to do it, like, on her own this long. Mm-hmm. She's not hankering.
She's not hankering.
She don't need a man.
I really like Whisper. I identify with her internal sense of, like, guilt and torture, and also just like the fundamental trait of like, I don't speak and I whisper. I just like quiet. Mm-hmm. And I could spend a lot of time in silence. I think her abilities are super sick too.
Yes.
I really like her skill set. Of course, Blaze is so cool. She's one of my favorites. I don't know if I want to be her because I respect the hell out of her.
Yeah.
Obviously, Amy is my favorite of all time. I really do just love all the Sonic girlies, though. I can't think of a single bad egg.
There is like a thread of relatability for me with Surge, too. You know, there's just like a carnal energy to her.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That is just like, I don't want to say that I want to be Surge, but I kind of do. You get what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
it's very,
like, her
ability very,
to
like,
take
primal,
up space.
Edgy, yeah, loud. To just, like, unapologetically be like, listen to me, bitch.
I am here. I know how fucking good I am. Like, there's something very, like, inspiring about that in a way.
Yeah, we find Surge really inspiring.
Yeah.
Commit atrocities.
When she had that showdown with Sonic, he was a little flippant with her. I don't know if that's the right word. But I think in a way where, like, I've felt that rage on the inside to people who have been, like, dismissive of me.
Totally.
You know, like, men who have been dismissive of me into things. That happened to me recently. And so, like, I just relate to that, like, the urge to scream.
Oh, yeah. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I love to write about angry women.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the question, Ren.
Thank you. Our next one is from Blue Sky. It's from Melodillo. Thank you so much, Mel.
Mel.
Yes. Which of the Sonic girlies would be podcast girlies? Surely at least one of those ladies would be down to make a podcast when they're not fighting Eggman and his evil schemes.
For sure. This is such a good question. I think actually so many of them would be podcast girlies.
Amy, for sure.
Amy would so be a podcast girlie. And I think she could wrangle anybody into being on the podcast with her. Like, I think Blaze would be her podcast buddy. I think Rouge would be her podcast buddy. Cream would be her podcast buddy. I would love Tangle and Whisper to have a podcast together. But I also think Whisper could just sort of like dominate the ASMR scene, you know? But Tangle's talk show would be fun.
I think, yeah, I think Amy and Tingle are, like, very up there.
Oh, my God. And Styx would be the Joe Rogan of the universe, you know? She's out there spitting conspiracies all over the podcast networks of the Sonic universe.
Dead. low-key, actually, let's talk about Jewel. I feel like her podcast or content would just be, like, very, like, advice-centered.
Right. Because there's a lot of different subsections of podcasts. Because you do have, like, a whole group of health and wellness podcasters out there that, like, I could see Lanolin and Jewel getting into. Jewel would totally have, like, some sort of financial help, like, get your finances in order podcast, which would be so great. You know that Knuckles needs some financial planning assistance.
You know, the currency of Angel Island.
Like, he doesn't have a savings plan. He doesn't know.
I don't think he pays taxes.
The IRS is coming for him at some point.
I mean, no, but here's the thing. Is he a landowner with, like, Angel Island because he is the last of the echidnas? And, like, how does the government treat Angel Island and Knuckles? Like, are they going to, like, tax Knuckles for being a landowner? You know?
I have no idea.
Is that, like, out of their jurisdiction?
These are the questions. These are the hard-hitting questions. Speaking of those questions, do we have any true crime podcasters in the girlies?
I feel like Rouge would have like a white-collar crime
podcast. Like Scam Goddess. I don't know if you've ever listened to that podcast with Lacey Mosley. I love that. But, like, talking about scams, you can run.
I know you said that Blaze would be a podcast girly, but I don't know.
I think that if...
I don't know if she would want to talk on a
microphone. I think that if Amy was like, you and I should start a podcast, and here's what it's going to be about, and it'll be so good, and you have so much to say, and people will learn so much to you from you, please, 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 Blaze. Blaze would eventually be like, okay. Because also I think the thing that you have to think about, Blaze, is that she's the leader of a nation. She's a princess. And so I do think at some point, like, she doesn't like to talk. She doesn't like to, like, she's very reserved. Connections are hard for her. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately, like, speaking authoritatively is something she could do. All right. And I think if Amy begged her it.
That's when I see her doing a State of the Union.
That's the thing, is I think essentially Amy just wants somebody she can talk at and or, like, springboard off of on her podcast. So she's like, please, 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 Blaze, do a podcast with me. And so Blaze is there, just there to be like, okay, but what about... Did you ever consider that the blueberry one might be better? And then Amy will talk for 15 minutes and then Blaze will say one more thing and then Amy will talk for 15. It's just like she just needs one person to say one thing.
Word. Thank you so much, Mel. That was fun. Next question is from Tumblr and it's from a Sparkly Cartoon Fairy.
Another visit
fairy.
From the Sparkly Cartoon Fairy.
Yes. Thank you so much. I love this one. What do you think a wild girls' night out would look like for the ladies? Who's getting the biggest sugar high on Chaos Cola? Who's almost getting arrested? Who is the mom friend and why?
I love the question, who's almost getting arrested. And the truth is, I think any single one of them could be almost getting arrested depending on the situation. I think I
need Blaze to get arrested.
That's what I'm saying. Any of them is throwing hands for one reason or another, depending on, like, their... Rouge could be getting arrested. Amy could be getting arrested. Blaze could be getting arrested. Lanolin could be getting arrested for sure. Oh, Tangle, Whisper, Jewel, Surge, Styx. I think these girls would be going kooky, crazy bananas.
Yeah. You know, like...
Tikal, I don't know if Tikal would be getting arrested. I could see her being the mom friend and being very, very responsible.
Tikal would be the mom friend. I don't know. Again, energy of, like, the girls' bathroom in the club, that they're just, like, you know, unmatched energy of, like, a group of girls going out for the night.
Yeah. And I do think there is just, like, when that happens and the vibe is right, there's, like, very much, especially with these girls who are all so powerful, great at fighting, have a strong sense of justice, are heroes, like, literal heroes. It's like, did you look at my friend wrong? Or did you, like, spill her drink? And then we're two steps away from you're getting arrested.
Rouge is absolutely, like, sweet-talking some, like, down bad man at the bar. And then
she's getting her drinks paid for.
Well, she's getting not just her drink. She's just like, oh, hey, guys. Like, drinks are on Trevor.
Yeah. Trevor at the club.
I don't know if there's a Sonic character named Trevor.
Yeah, it's Trevor the Moose at the club. He's buying our next round of shots.
Trevor the Moose. He works in finance, investment.
6'3", blue eyes. I'm looking
for a man in finance. Trust fund, a 6'5".
This is canon. The same night as last Friday night.
Yes.
This is canon. Mm-hmm. Rouge was at the club and she was fucking around with Trevor the Moose, mm-hmm. who works in finance, just to make Knuckles mad.
Oh my god.
Somebody give us Trevor
the
Moose.
Thank you so much, Sparkly Cartoon Fairy.
Our first, he's our first OC.
Our first OC together.
Our first OC together. Trevor the Party Moose.
Oh my god.
The Club Moose.
He's a himbo.
All he does is he loves to buy drinks for women. It's a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay, because yeah, he doesn't have a lot going on upstairs.
Next question is from Eve.
And he's wearing a no, I'm not letting the bit go. He's wearing a tank top that says ask me to buy you a shot, or like next round's on
me. I thought he would just go in his like khakis and button down, like he just like came straight from, you know, his job on Wall Street or whatever.
Oh my god. Okay, you're picturing like a real finance bro.
No, yeah, because the thing with finance bros is that they work all the fucking time.
Yeah.
The only social life that they have is when they go to like the bars and stuff or whatever. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, like trying to pick up a girl or whatever. And he thinks he's going to pick up Rouge. But, you know, she fucking plays him because, you know, he's a man.
He's got the money. It's fine. He should be played. Okay.
Next question from Eve. Thank you, Eve.
Eve.
For each of you, if you could plan a road trip with any of the gals, who would you invite and where would you go? Who is in charge of the snacks, the playlist, and driving? Love you, ladies. Thank you.
This is a really good question because actually, when you travel with somebody who you are not travel compatible mm-hmm. with, it's miserable. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Which of the girls do you think you'd be road trip compatible with?
Maybe like Blazer Lanolin.
Okay.
Or even Amy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Say why.
I'm embarrassed to admit this.
Oh, yeah, okay. Whoa. Secrets are coming out, I guess.
Secrets are coming out. I can't drive, and I feel like they'd be safe drivers.
Wait, that's so crazy because I think I know that. Because
I know you know this. I
have picked you up on multiple... Wait, stop. I've picked you up so often. I have driven to your place. You only took public transport. But for some reason, I always thought you could drive. You just didn't own a car. Like, I always thought, no, she knows how to drive. That's so wild. No, I didn't. I really actually thought that you could drive this whole time.
For the record, I've gone for my driver's test. The only part of the test that I passed was parallel parking.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy. That is so crazy. Oh my god. So you can't do any part of driving except for one of the infamously hardest parts of driving, which is parallel parking. Yes. That is so crazy.
Stop doxing me.
Shit. Fuck. Sorry, I'm so flabbergasted. I'm so flustered by this information. Oh,
that's,
shit.
That's
I'm
why,
so sorry.
Yeah, that's why, like, when I was in LA, I would have you pick me up.
I really just thought it's because you didn't have the car.
No.
That's so crazy. But you can parallel park?
Yeah, I can parallel park.
That's so stupid. That's so dumb. Next time we're in LA, I'm gonna drive us to my house, but then when I get to my house, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna be like, park it.
Okay. that's a lot of faith in Elmo, but okay.
That's crazy.
Oh my god. I was in LA for like a year.
Two years.
Like a year and a half. And like B was just like, yeah, like, I'll come pick you up.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you knew. I feel like I showed you, like, my permit.
I come from a driving culture. I grew up in the American South, and you have to drive there. Everybody has to drive there. And so my bias is, oh, you're not going anywhere if you don't drive. So in my mind, I'm like, well, she rides public transportation to save money and has the car. But she drives, obviously. And of course. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. My understanding of the world has sort of tipped a little bit. Okay, so, well, this changes things. So you need to bring someone with you who can drive. You need to bring somebody with you who can do the whole drive, actually. There's no splitting the drive with you.
Yeah.
So you definitely want somebody responsible, like Lanolin, like Blaze.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll finance the meals. And gas, you know, that's the trade-off. For the record, I absolutely would never just, like, expect someone to drive me, like, to and from all over the place without me giving back in some capacity.
That is so crazy. I feel really shell-shocked, to be honest.
That's so funny.
I feel really, my body is numb. Okay. For me, on the flip side of the coin, I love a road trip. Famously, I this past Christmas refused a plane ticket and drove myself cross country alone for the fun of it.
You're weird for that.
And that I'm not. I love it. I love to be in a car for hours on end. Windows down driving with the music really loud is one of my great joys. And famously, all of my best thinking for plotting and, you know, drama, like the dramas play out in my brain as I drive on my commutes to and from work. So I love a road trip. I would live for this. And what I really need is somebody who can match my road trip energy. If you try and commandeer my road trip, I don't want you on my road trip. So for that reason, I actually think, like, Amy's too strong of a personality.
I get that.
Even Rouge maybe is too strong of a personality. I think somebody like Styx could be fun, though, because I think she'd be willing to, like, what I did for my road trip was, like, find some kooky themed hotels and, like, stop at some weird roadside attractions. And there's some weird roadside attractions. Like, she'd want to go see the world's largest pistachio. She'd want to stop at Bucky's. She'd want to, go to that, like, weird alien museum in Missouri.
Yeah, but what about, like, those billboards that are, like, the rapture is coming?
Yeah, that's the one thing is I don't think that she'd be okay with long stretches of, like, just letting the music play or, like, watching an episode of something.
That's fair.
Okay, maybe my ideal person is Tails.
That's fine.
Not a girl. Because Tails would be able to handle the logistics.
Yes. He'd
let me do what I would want to do. And he'd also, like, match the energy and have fun. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's the perfect sidekick.
Yeah, no. For the record, Tails would also be on my thing. Just try to keep it to the goilies.
Yeah, and I broke the rules. Okay, fine. I will choose, I'll choose Lanolin.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'll choose Lanolin.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe Jewel, but I feel like Jewel would actually be a little, like, type A.
That's the thing. I think Jewel's going to stress me out, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
And Lanolin is just type A enough without stressing me
out. Maybe Jewel would be my road trip buddy, then. I feel like she'd be perfect, actually. So that's my answer.
Cute. Wow, thanks, Eve. You really rocked my world with this question.
My God. Okay, next one, also from Tumblr. It's anonymous. Okay, but what makes a female character well written, and why are the Sonic girls good examples of that? Or even the way you guys write them would be good examples of that.
Damn, Anonymous, you out here asking those hard-hitting journalistic questions.
I know.
This feels like an impossible question to answer, but there's this story. I don't remember the woman's name or what year it happened, but it was, like, the same year that there's this big hubbub about censorship in film and if, like, porn could be sent through the mail. And essentially lawmakers were trying to define what pornography was and what obscenity was, specifically. What makes something obscene? Mm-hmm. And they asked this woman who was like at the head of a committee for like women against pornography or whatever. And they were like, what makes something obscene? And the woman said, essentially, I can't tell you in words what it is, but I know it when I see it. And I feel that way about this. Like, I don't know if I can define for you what makes a female character well-written, but I think we all know mm-hmm. when we see it. Like, this female character doesn't feel like it was written in good faith.
Yeah.
Or is kind of lacking a fundamental depth that doesn't feel quite fair to her.
Well, I think what you're kind of getting at a little bit is agency.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe just a 3D-ness mm-hmm. in terms of there are things that make up a character like emotionality, mm-hmm. history, you know, breadth of experience and a range of emotions. And if there's just something that the character doesn't seem to have access to, like be that literally with agency or emotionally or even just like in the story, overly limited
yeah.
in what they can do or even overly sexualized perhaps by somebody who isn't somebody I trust to be doing that mm-hmm. to her in good faith as a writer, like a male writer, then I feel like, okay, I don't trust you to be writing yeah. this in a way that I feel is well written.
Yeah. And I think also, like, when I say agency, like, it also really depends on the narrative and the story, the world that you're setting up.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. I don't think it's bad to have female characters that are maybe, like, restricted by the world that's mm-hmm. been created. Mm-hmm. But I think
yeah.
it's more, what's the author's like broader goals of like, you know, the messages that they're trying to send?
Yeah. Or even does she have thoughts on feelings, mm-hmm. You know, on the way she's restricted by the world, even if it's like total buy-in to yeah. her restriction because this is how she grew up. Like just a full exploration of this character, even if it is, you know, a chapter or yeah. whatever.
There's a few.
And I think, go ahead, Strap. You know, you go.
I was going to say, a Sonic girly that we haven't touched on yet that I think of in this context is Maria.
Yeah.
The thing with Maria is that at least like when she, you know, was first introduced as a character, like she was kind of the definition of a fridged character.
Yeah.
And again, that's not a dig on her. That is the way that the narrative was set up.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that like all of this additional material that we see after about Maria, about who she is, even like the Bannon interpretations of stuff, people want to give Maria a new life. Like I loved Maria in Sonic Movie 3.
Yeah, me too. I think that's something that also helps is just like your trust level, your perceived trust level with the writer.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like the world, the thing you're reading, what you may or may not know about the person who wrote the thing you're reading feels like it's enabling you to sink into the world, to feel safe reading about the world, to engage with it, you're just going to be more willing and interested and what am I trying to say? Like, I don't know. You're just going to trust that they're writing mm-hmm. this character in good faith.
Yeah.
And I do think the Sonic Girls are good examples of that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're becoming better examples of that every day. And you can still be like a female character who is a clear archetype and be a well-made, mm-hmm. complete female character. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the Sonic Girls are archetypes through and through, especially the mascot characters. Rouge is woman.
Mm-hmm.
Amy is girl. You know, they fall very squarely in like sexy woman, cat woman, cat burglar uses mm-hmm. her charms to get what she wants versus like girl pink.
Yes.
You know, frilly love romance archetypes fully and completely and squarely. But that does nothing to undermine the fact that they are characters completely, fully, and are extremely interesting and have nuance. In fact, like, I think it makes them even more interesting because they are takes on those archetypes and they play on those archetypes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anonymous. I hope I didn't say anything stupid.
I think we're fine.
We're fine.
I'm pulling out the girl card. And our last question, or for this big round here, From Anonymous, also on Tumblr. Oh, our girlies, as we all know, are perfect little angles, but I want to hear what your most unpopular opinions about them are. You know, the kind of thing only fellow girls could get away with saying.
Okay, wow. I love this. I love the spirit of this question, because what we're here to do is say...
You understood the assignment.
Yes, we're here to say what girls get to say, and we can talk about it. And trust that we're talking about it with love and appreciation in our sweet girl circle. I have a thought. Do you have a thought, Straw?
I have like a quick one and then another one.
Okay.
But I...
Do it.
Like, Vanilla's Little House on the Prairie dress.
Yeah, you don't like it?
I understand it, but, like, I don't know, like, it's just a little, I see the vibe they're going for. I think it kind of leans into, I think, the fantasy element of Sonic, but it does just feel a little bit like, oh, like, proper woman, you know.
Interesting.
Prairie lady. I'm not too big of a fan of the dress.
Wow.
I think, like, let her be in, like, some jeans and an apron, maybe,
at some point. Oh, you want to mom her up.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I totally see that. That would be very cute. Get her some mom jeans.
I don't, like, hate the dress or anything, and I'm not advocating for it to be, like, thrown away, but would love to just, like... I think Vanilla is a character who I would just love to have a little bit more agency given to her, because... I feel like we really do just see her within the home space.
That's a good, really quick one. And mine is kind of related to that. And I'm a little afraid to say it.
Do it. Do it.
I'm tired of talking about Rouge's boobs. I'm tired of debating how big they should be.
No, actually, thank you for saying that, because, like, I hear you. Like,
I'm tired of talking about if they should be out or if they should be in, or how big or how small. Let them be as big as they want to be, or as small as they need to be, or as present as they need to be, or as zipped up into a cat suit as they need to be. Who cares?
My two cents on the Rouge discourse, like the Rouge boob discourse, is that, like, I want to believe that people are trying to have good faith discussion, but, like, I just think some people are being a little bit weird about how much they want them out.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I think that no matter what, Rouge probably loves her titties, and no matter what, she uses them incredibly well. And even if they're small, and even if they're hidden away, you know, who cares? They're still there. And even if they're big, and even if they're out, they're still there. And they mean to her, you know, the same thing that the rest of her character means to her, which is that she is a sexually empowered, flirtatious woman.
Yeah.
And the size and presence of her tits have nothing to do with that.
Yeah. I think I just feel a little bit that, like, the people who are very passionate about Rouge's tits being hit, like, huge and spilling over or whatever, it just feels a little bit like, where is your advocacy coming from?
Yeah,
you know. And actually,
I think it's great.
Actually, you know, okay. What this goes into something that I have been thinking about, which is about clothes.
Yeah, I was gonna say this I was gonna say the same thing. It dovetails into, like, a larger thing that I have, is, like, I'm really fine if they want to put Amy in pants, and I'm not okay with, like, you know, fake girl bossness, which is like, Amy's in pants now, and so she's empowered. That's not true. But, like, if they want to put her in pants in movie 3, I don't care. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Honestly, I think her outfit in Sonic Prime is better.
Yeah, it was cute.
That's my take, is that I think, like, her Sonic Prime suit, it's, like, you know, like, more spy-oriented and everything, and I think that it's, like, the... How should I say? Probably the reason why you don't see her tits out as much is because, like, they don't want to draw attention to it. So, yeah, the whole discourse is a little, like, tiring.
It's tiring, and I'm happy for her to have big boobs. I love that. And I'm happy for her to have regular medium sized boobs.
Yeah.
Middle boobs. I love that. I'm happy for her to have tiny boobs. Love that. Like, I don't care.
Here's the thing. Regardless of size, they're just called boobs.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh man. What was the second thing you were gonna say after that?
That was it, actually, what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, we both just kind of same-brained on there a little bit.
I love that. Okay, well, that was our last big question. We're moving into lightning round.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to sip some lemonade, have our little dessert, and wrap up the picnic.
Yes. This one comes from Demora Raccoon on Blue Sky. If some of the Sonic ladies came into the tarot table and pizza shop next to the Pizza Hut, who do you think it would be and what do you think they'd ask?
I'd love for Amy to come into the tarot shop and ask for a relational read, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun.
I think Cream would come into the tarot shop, but like Cream would just like ask what's for dinner tonight. Or, like,
aww.
You know, like, it would just be something, like, very cute and innocent.
Yeah, like, I don't know. How do I, like, make my mom's night better?
Blaze would end up being more invested in tarot readings than she'd realize.
Yeah, I feel like Blaze and, like, Whisper would, like, actually be looking for some, like, guidance. And, like, the readings might end up being very dramatic, actually.
Yeah. I think Tangle would be, like, really excited, but then, like, there's, like, a card that maybe is, like, inverted or something, or she gets, like, the Tower card or Death and maybe is, like, a little spooked.
Yeah, I was thinking she'd, like, laugh it off and be, like, a non-believer, kind of like, haha, okay, that's fake.
Yeah.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you. This one is from Kyle JCRB, our boss at the KNGI network. Dear B and Barry Bad, how do you write Sonic fanfic with boxing gloves on your hands? Yours truly, Kyle Bumblecast. I use dictation.
And I just punch straight through the screen and it hits so hard that like the words go straight into the document. Just hits so hard.
Yes. You know? This is our plug that you guys should totally send questions to the Bumblecast Ian and Kyle. They are wonderful people.
And I think Kyle's still might have that GoFundMe open, yes. Right, for his mom.
Yes.
Go check that out on his social media. He has a GoFundMe to help his mom with some medical bills.
Thank you. Next one is from Conga. The ladies have been doomed to listen to emo bands post-genre change. The horror. Who enjoys it? Who tolerates it? And who would go insane if they heard Brendan Urie utter High Hopes one more time? MCR and Paramore are off limits. Sorry.
Me. I would go insane if I had to hear Brendan Urie utter High Hopes one more time, Conga. I think Surge, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Amy would kind of enjoy it.
Rouge. I think she's over that. Mm-hmm. That this is not fun. She has better things to be doing.
Cream
for sure.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. Those are the ones that really come to mind. This one is from Cassie. Consider Amy's strength as a raw skill that she's developed over time with all of her training and being out in the field. Now consider her matched up against some of the hedgehog guys. Do you think she could kick their ass with her raw power alone?
Round one, the boys don't get their abilities. Round two, they do.
I want to believe she could kick their ass.
I think for sure round one.
I think with abilities though, I think Silver would give her a really good match.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat him with his abilities, you know?
But also, I think Shadow is very proficient in hand-to-hand combat.
I agree. I think he's probably the best melee fighter out of all three of them. Because Sonic just gives you the runaround, and Silver's really good at keeping you at a distance, but Shadow will just come up and he'll punch you straight in the face.
Yeah. Some food for thought for you with the tournament.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Considering who she might be up against. Maybe. Next one is from Ava Arctic on Twitter. When do you think Sally and Nicole will finally tie the knot?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I hope. Did we both just say tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, we're all so we're invited.
I think that means it's officially tomorrow. Yeah.
Ava also asks, do you two want to host a party at Ava's Cafe? Absolutely.
For sure.
Let's go. Be in the berry party at Ava's Cafe. Mm-hmm. Ava has kindly offered the cafe for our next year anniversary. So
Trevor the Moose is going to be there and he will buy everybody a drink.
Yes, with, you know, his Wall Street coin.
Money.
Yes.
Yeah, now he's a Bitcoin bro.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The lore we're building. He sucks. This OC sucks.
Yeah. Next one is from Instagram. Yes, we do have an Instagram. And it's from Yellowish Tree. Thank you so much. What are your thoughts on Lanolin and Styx? And also, who has the saddest lore?
I love Lanolin. I have a huge heart for Lanolin. Mm-hmm. I actually think Lanolin is one of my like favorite sleeper hits. Mm-hmm. I just think she's great. I think she has like such a huge sense of responsibility pressing down on her all the time. She like is always trying so hard to wrangle everybody, but like nobody really seems to listen to her. Like she's got like such a burden of responsibility on her that I find really compelling.
Yeah.
And also, shout out Styx. Love Styx.
Oh yeah. I love how crazy that bitch is.
Yeah, you're a big Styx girly.
Oh yeah. But actually with like Lanolin, like I know earlier when I was talking, I was saying like, oh yeah, I feel like, you know, Blaze's sense of responsibility, but Lanolin has a really big sense of responsibility and you know, like also a sense of like directness that I think, you know, it rubs people the wrong way. And I think it's really relatable. Also, shout out Adam Bryce Thomas, who just makes really great Lanolin art, even on like the side of IDW. Also,
I love Lanolin's character design.
Mm-hmm.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
And who has the saddest lore? That's tough.
I'd say Maria's lore is pretty sad. You know, with
that's
the death.
True. Yeah, I think you do have to sort of put the girls who are canonically dead up there at the top. So Maria, T'Kal.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel really bad for Surge.
Yeah.
She's been through it.
Yeah. Surge is a very, you know, has a pretty tortured past, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Our next lightning round question, I'm combining these two from Tumblr, Dracua and Simply Sparrow 14. What would an Amy game look like and what would a Blaze game look like?
I see so many different versions for Amy games because she could have like a It's Showtime Princess Peach game where it's just like, I don't know, she like does a little baking game or she does a little dress up game or she does a little like what. There's so many like girly games out there for her. And then there's also like, I don't know, Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog where it's like a visual novel almost. And then there was also like a sweeping fun adventure for her too.
I saw it was like on Twitter from Daniel Barnes. He had kind of tossed the idea of like, oh, like Amy in like a Hades style game, but it's like centered around like Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh, how cute.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'd play the shit out of that.
I know. I just think like whatever game she has, I need her to have outfits.
Yes, you can't. Yes, she has to have outfits. It would be a crime if she didn't.
Exactly. And I want to be able to like mix and match things and all of that. I don't know if that's like Infinity Nikki, but that would be my Amy game. Blaze game, I want it to be like lore/combat heavy.
I do see, yeah, like Blaze has a narrative game, like a big narrative game. And I honestly, like, am I wrong for saying I'd like it to be around, like, kind of what happens after 08? Like, I don't know. Should we do
06?
Oh, sorry. Jesus Christ. I was thinking 08 because of Sonic Chronicles, which came out in 2008. Yes, 06. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Sorry. God. Yeah, should we, I don't know. Should we try and make a story about what happens after the events of 06?
That would be crazy. Because I feel like at the end of 06, she's like dead or something. Or she like,
I know, yeah. But like, where did she go? What is she doing? I don't know.
I would want the game to be set in the soul dimension. I would want it to be kind of like away from Sonic and thing, you know.
Yeah, everything. Like, what is her world like? What are her enemies in her world look like? And, you know, yeah,
Marine.
Yeah, Marine. That's fun. I like that.
I think that's the end of our lightning round.
Yes. Which means it's time. We've eaten all our delicious goodies.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
turn off the grill. We've
spilled the tea. We've gossed the goss.
Yeah. I'm getting spicy on Maine. Well, not like spicy, yeah. But like spicy takes.
We were girly pops all over Maine. Mm-hmm. This is the most girly pop on Maine we've maybe ever been.
Yeah.
Girly pops talking about the girly pops all over Maine. That was really fun and felt very special and sacred. Thank you guys for giving us the space to talk so much about the Sonic Girls.
Yeah.
So openly and freely about them. It feels very special and safe that Straub and I get to feel like we can come here and talk about our opinions and share them with you. And let us know what you think. And if we said anything crazy, and if you agree about anything we said, if you have more thoughts on any of the things we said, answer any of the questions we got asked. Let us know your thoughts. Keep the convo going.
We love the girlies. And, you know, it's all love, all peace and vibes. We just like to kiki, you know?
And I love to kiki.
I think we're valid.
For the most part.
For the most part, you know. Maybe, yeah, sorry. We get a little spicy on Maine, too. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to see some of you guys at Sonic Expo.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll release another episode before Sonic Expo.
This might be it. We'll debrief Expo.
Yes.
Please follow us on our social platforms. That's, you know, Twitter, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, you know, and we'll get some, you know, content from Expo up for you guys. I'm really looking forward to it. I need it.
Me too. I need it too. To happen.
Yeah. Let us know what you want to see. And we'll see you next time on the next episode.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we'll end this episode the way we end every episode, by saying what we say at the end of every episode of The Bee and the Berry.
It may not be canon, but it is correct. Ciao!
Ciao!